The night was exceptionally cold, even for February, in Connecticut. I remember the way the air seemed to crystallize under the yellow hum of the streetlights on Lawrence Street. It was roughly 8:30 in the evening when the first calls started hitting the dispatch desk. Residents in the East Rock neighborhood of New Haven reported a sequence of sounds that did not belong in a quiet residential district. First, there was the dull metallic thud of a low-speed vehicle collision, then a moment of heavy silence. That silence was shattered by a rapid succession of gunshots and a single high-pitched scream that echoed off the brick facades of the surrounding apartments. When the first patrol units arrived, they found a silver Toyota Prius idling in the center of the road, with its hazard lights blinking rhythmically against the snow. Approximately 100 feet away, a young man was sprawled on the asphalt. He was not moving. The responding officers checked for a pulse, but there was nothing to be done. The victim had been targeted with extreme precision and brutality. As I walked the perimeter of the scene, I looked at the back of the Prius and noticed a peculiar mark on the bumper. It was an impression from a license plate holder, indicating a rear-end collision. But this was no accident. The man lying on the cold pavement was a 26-year-old Yale graduate student and Army veteran named Kevin Jang. My team and I began the process of reconstruction by walking the timeline of that Saturday. Kevin had spent the day with his fiancée, Zion Perry. They had gone hiking and ice fishing to celebrate their recent engagement, which had happened just 1 week prior. Kevin had dropped her off at her apartment and was driving toward the home he shared with his mother when the encounter occurred. We canvassed the area and located a neighbor with a security camera mounted inside a window facing the street. The footage was grainy, but the audio was hauntingly clear. We heard the impact of the SUV striking the back of the Prius. We saw Kevin pull over and step out of his car. He appeared calm as he walked toward the dark vehicle behind him, likely expecting a routine exchange of insurance information. Instead, the driver fired two shots through the window. Kevin collapsed. The driver then stepped out of the SUV and stood directly over him. Six more shots were fired into his face and torso while he was defenseless on the ground. The shooter then got back into his vehicle and vanished into the night. We recovered eight spent .45 caliber shell casings from the pavement. The presence of stippling around the wounds on Kevin's face told me the killer was standing only inches away when he finished the job. The forensic evidence began to paint a picture of a perpetrator who was both meticulous and incredibly lucky. Within 30 minutes of the shooting, a man driving a black GMC Terrain became stuck on railroad tracks near a scrapyard in North Haven. Local police responded to the trespassing call, but they had no idea a murder had just occurred in the neighboring jurisdiction. They found the driver to be calm and soft-spoken. He produced a valid license, and the officers even helped arrange a tow for him. They dropped him off at a Best Western hotel in Hamden. By the time we connected that vehicle to the shooting, the driver had vanished. We searched the area around an Arby's restaurant next to the hotel and found a discarded bag containing a Ruger handgun and 10 boxes of ammunition. DNA on those boxes and blood found inside the GMC Terrain provided a direct match to a PhD candidate from MIT named Quangxuan Pan. Further analysis of the .45 caliber casings revealed a chilling pattern. Over the previous 2 months, four homes in the area had been struck by random gunfire. We realized Pan had been conducting these drive-by shootings to create the illusion of a random crime wave in the area. He wanted the murder of Kevin Jang to look like just another senseless act of street violence, rather than a calculated execution. The investigation into Pan's background revealed he was a mathematical genius who had represented the United States in international competitions. He was also a man possessed by a quiet and dangerous obsession. Digital forensics showed he had been tracking Zion Perry on social media for months. He had seen the photos of her engagement to Kevin, and something in his mind had snapped. Pan stayed ahead of us for months, using his technical skills to disable GPS trackers in stolen vehicles and moving through nearly a dozen states. He eventually landed in Montgomery, Alabama, where he lived under a false identity in a boarding house. When the U.S. Marshals finally breached his room, they found him in possession of $19,000 in cash and seven different cell phones. After a long legal battle, Pan eventually changed his plea to guilty. In April 2024, a judge in New Haven sentenced him to 35 years in prison. During the sentencing, Kevin's mother spoke about the light her son brought into the world and how he had no enemies. Pan offered a brief apology in court, but the motive remained largely unspoken by the prosecution. The case ended as it began with a sense of profound loss. A brilliant life was extinguished by a man who used his own intellect to orchestrate a tragedy.